Paul writes that they would bear spiritual fruit for Jesus. Bearing fruit, he says, in every good work. Back in verse 6, Paul had talked about spiritual fruit, and that was the result of the Colossian Christians living out that transformed life. It's inevitable that when you live a transformed life, when you live worthy of Jesus, when you live pleasing to Jesus, the result is going to be spiritual fruit. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said that people can tell about you by your fruit, by what your life produces. People are going to know you, not so much by what you say, but by what you do. You can say you're a Christian, but until you produce spiritual fruit in your life, no one is going to believe you. Over in Galatians chapter 5, Paul lists spiritual fruit for us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the indications that your life is being transformed. Without those things, there is no indication that your life is being transformed, that you are in any way living like Jesus. Fourthly, he says that they would grow in the knowledge of Jesus. At the end of verse 10, he says, growing, that is increasing in the knowledge of God. Too many Christians today equate spirituality or spiritual growth with spiritual emotion. The more emotion they feel in the Christian life, the more spiritual they are. And this is especially true when it comes to worship, which, by the way, most Christians equate worship with singing and with music, what we did at the beginning of the service. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with emotion. God made you that way. There's nothing wrong with singing. There's nothing wrong with music. But this is worship. What we're doing right now is worship. We should be thankful for our salvation. And depending upon your emotional makeup, that might even get you choked up when you think of all that Jesus did for you. But the Bible never says, listen, the Bible never says we're to grow in our spiritual, in our emotional response to God. Never says that. It says we're to grow in our knowledge of God. If your worship is directed primarily by your emotions, that is not going to lead to spiritual growth. Spiritual growth will never happen without spiritual knowledge. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter writes, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is through learning the word of God that you will grow. Now Peter makes another very important statement in regard to our spiritual growth. In chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace and peace are multiplied by the knowledge of God. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me pull out just three statements from those verses. First, God's grace and peace comes through knowledge of Him. As Christians, we all long for God's grace to be effective in our lives. We all long for that peace that only God can give. How do you get it? Through a knowledge of Him. That comes through the Word of God. Secondly, God has given us everything we need to live a transformed life, and that is through a knowledge of Him. Thirdly, it is through the promises of God that our lives are transformed, that you might be partakers of the divine nature. How? Through those exceedingly great and precious promises. God wants you to grow in your spiritual life. Transformation does not happen unless you are growing in your spiritual life, and that growth comes primarily through a knowledge that affects our lives. The fifth thing that Paul desired for these believers was that they would be spiritually strengthened by Jesus. Verse 11, he says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Paul wrote something very similar to that to the Ephesians as he told them that he was praying for them. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 3 that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Living a transformed life will never be easy. It isn't easy to live like Jesus. It takes considerable spiritual strength. We can't do that on our own. We can't do it on our own power. We can't do it in our own strength. So Paul prayed that the Christians would be spiritually strengthened with God's power and with God's might. That's what they were going to need. If they were going to endure, if they were going to have patience. Now, other translations use the phrase "for all patience and long suffering." One commentator said that the first word in that verse, strengthened with all might, whether you have it as strengthened with all patience, for all patience, you can have that as patience or long suffering, said that that referred to enduring difficult circumstances. And when he says for all long suffering, whether you have long suffering or patience there, that refers to difficult people. Listen, in your Christian life, you are going to run into difficult circumstances and you are going to run into difficult people. Sometimes in church, both. And if we are going to live a transformed life, we're going to need strength to handle the difficult circumstances, and we're going to need strength to handle difficult people. Do I hear an amen? Now, the last two words of verse 11 are so, so important. How are we to handle difficult circumstances and difficult people, class? With joy, or joyfully, depending on your translation. God doesn't want us simply to endure difficult circumstances. If you wait long enough, they'll usually go away. God doesn't want us simply to endure difficult people. He wants us to do it with joy. By the way, that's another good thing for you to pray for yourself. That God would give you joy when you have to handle difficult circumstances and difficult people. Finally, Paul's last desire was that they would give thanks to the Father of Jesus. Giving joyful thanks to the Father. There's that word joy again. By the way, let me just take a little rabbit trail here. Too many people look at Christians as sourpusses. Christians never have any fun. Christians are just sour people. How many times does the Bible talk to us about living with joy? Over and over again. We are to be joyful people. We of all people are to live joyful lives. Don't allow the world to accuse you of being less than joyful as you live for Jesus. When you live a transformed life, when you live like Jesus, it will be a joyful life. When he says in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, the important concept here for the person who wants to live a transformed life is the idea of thankfulness. The Old Testament says in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. We reserve that verse for Thanksgiving. We only talk about that verse in November. But it's there every day of the year. Be thankful. Be thankful. The New Testament says that one of the marks, listen to this, one of the marks, according to Paul's writing in Romans chapter 1, of an ungodly person is they are unthankful. Unthankfulness is a mark of a person who is against God, who stands in opposition to God. They have a spirit of unthankfulness. Over in Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Just as unthankfulness is a mark of an ungodly person, so thankfulness is to be the mark of a godly person. Now, thankfulness is sometimes difficult for us. It's not hard to be thankful when things are going well in life. I don't often give personal illustrations about my family, but let me give this one. I have a grandson, not the one who is here with me today, but I have a grandson who burned up the engine on his car. And so they took that motor out, and they got another used motor, and they put that motor in, and it didn't work right. They took that motor out, and they put another motor in, and that one worked. And yesterday, it blew a hole in the block of the car. He's on the fourth engine within about a period of 2 months. I haven't had a chance to personally speak to him. I have a sense that he's not really thankful at this moment in time. And I probably wouldn't be either. And you wouldn't be either. But that's what the Bible's talking about. Be thankful in everything. It's hard to be thankful when life is not going your way. But that is the test of a Christian who is being transformed. The person who is in the process of being transformed by Jesus will be a person who is working on being thankful even in the hard times. Will you always hit it 100%? Probably not. But you're working at it. You're asking God to help you be thankful. You're looking for the strength that only God gives to be thankful. And today you're a little more thankful in the hard time than you were last week or last month or last year. And so as the Apostle Paul writes to these believers and to us, his desire for them is that they would live worthy of Jesus, that they would be pleasing to Jesus, that they would bear spiritual fruit for Jesus, that they would grow in the knowledge of Jesus, that they would be spiritually strengthened by Jesus, that they would give thanks to the Father of Jesus. That is how you will know if you are living the Jesus life. That is how you will know if you are living a life that is in the process of being transformed. You will never be 100% transformed. John says we will be like him when we see him as he is. That's when we will be totally transformed. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to be on the pathway today. That doesn't give us an excuse not to become more like Jesus today. Finally, Paul talks about the reason for his prayer. In the final two verses, he highlights how God has transformed us. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son, the one He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you are a Christian today, you have been transformed by Jesus. He rescued you out of the dominion of spiritual darkness, and He has brought you into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, His dear Son, who in His death on the cross that we celebrated earlier in this service made it possible for you to be redeemed from your sin and to be forgiven by God. Because of that transaction that we talked about earlier, that covenant relationship, we are to live transformed lives. Think about it. You have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness, ruled over by the prince of darkness, in a future that ends in total darkness. And you have been put into the kingdom of Jesus. You know what the Apostle Paul is saying through these verses, in fact, from chapter 1, verse 3, all the way through verse 14, what Paul is saying is that we are to live like who we are. Do you know why it bothers us when someone in our country stands up and says, communism is the way we should live. It's better than democracy. Do you know why that bothers us? Because they have a choice. They can go to a country that lives under communism. Why are they staying here? That bothers us. Because they're not living like an American. It's a bad illustration, but it gets the point across that as Christians, we've got to stop living like the world and we've got to start living like Jesus. You see, none of us have been saved simply to go to heaven. We have been saved to live like Jesus here on this earth. The old hymn writer, and some of you older folks will remember singing this, "Be like Jesus," this my song, "in the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus." It's important not only to sing those words, but it's important for us to live those words. You see, our mission in life as Christians is to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. It's to bring glory to the one who died for us. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, here's where the rest of life comes in. Whether you eat or drink or all the rest of life, if I could paraphrase it, do all to the glory of God. It glorifies Jesus most of all when we not only call ourselves Christians, but when we live as Christians. We have been transformed to live like Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, in the quietness of this moment, help us to evaluate our lives, to see if in fact we are living like Jesus. To see if there's any evidence of the transformed life in us. Father, help us to be Christians who not only call ourselves Christians, but Christians who demonstrate by the fruit in our lives that we indeed are yours. We're your children. We are being transformed day by day into the image of the Lord Jesus. And for anyone who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that's the first step. Lord, help them to understand that they need to come to Jesus by faith. And that when they come confessing that Jesus is to be the Lord of their life for now and for eternity, you will put them on the road of a transformed life. Lord, help each of us to grow day by day to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song. In the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. That is to be the greatest desire of our hearts. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.